Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Tuesday evening. It is March 26th, 2024. So God bless you. Deborah with you here this evening, Tuesday night. Thank you for being here. I hope everyone is off to a good week. For those that are call this Passion Week, the week of Christ. Resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection, and then also some people call it the week of Passover, where he put the blood on the doorpost, right, and passed over, and the remembrance of the deliverance, which is very important and very much repeated in Scripture all throughout. Well, hey, so that's not what exactly what I want to talk about tonight, but thank you for being here. God bless you. I look forward to this evening's message and whatnot. So last week we talked about Nehemiah a little bit and just how the rebuilding, and even in the church and just somewhat the call on our lives, and how he would use each one of us. And I just want to invite those who didn't hear last week. It was very good. So this week will be like a part two, if you will. Not necessarily talking about Nehemiah. That's a new word there. But to just kind of reinstate it in a different way, but going back to history as well, but back to the Reformation. So seeing some things today about just, back to the Reformation, and then in the Declaration of Independence, okay, and then the Constitution, which I'm not going to go over a lot in the Constitution, but the Declaration of Independence, and then springboarded into the Constitution, and then where we are today, because there's nothing new under the sun. So, you know, what are some things that we're seeing, comparing and contrasting, if you will? With today, and even just rebuilding the church, if you will, the church at large, us, the people, as the body of Christ, rebuilding Christ and affirming him and reinstating and reapplying all of the applications that he has for our own lives, and then being able to reach and every sphere of influence, really, every sphere of influence where the Lord has you, because he is sovereign. You know, even if your job is temporary, your work, your location where you're living is temporary, you can still pray over that and pray for the people, intercede, whatever it might be. God definitely can use that and teach you, even as you're, you know, increase you and teach you as you're going. As we unite with him, then we ignite with others, right? And so prayer is very important, because really it's the essence of not only knowing him and communing with him and spending time with him. Wow, my brain is racing and my time will not keep up. But we actually, you know, he's given us his power, yes. But we ask in prayer, there's an element where we receive it, where we're receiving his power and the function of walking in it. And then we have that knowledge of demonstrating it and praying with boldness and being his mouthpiece, even in the midst of people who don't like it, for I don't know what reason they wouldn't like it. I don't know. I can't understand that for the life of me, because it's for them and it's a gift and it's all of that. So I don't understand. However, it's available that we do need to demonstrate it with grace and fortitude of faith. So just pray that I myself will, that the Lord will strengthen me and give me peace and continue to be a light in those areas that he's called me to walk in, and not to do it like hastily and not to do it pridefully or any such way, but really out of the grace and obedience of Christ on my life. And as I'm fully surrendered to him, just as you are fully surrendered to him, he demonstrates his power. So Thank you, Lord. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Well, let's pray for this evening. Thank you. And also my husband is recovering. He's got a cold. We were with our sweet little granddaughter most of the week last week. And he had his cup and he was giving it to her to drink. She was drinking from his cup. And I said later to him, I said, do you think sealed your fate? Because I mean, I feel a little bit like I'm like something wants to come on me, but I'm going to willfully pray it away. But he got so sick. I'm like, I think that sharing your drink sealed your fate there. But anyway, so pray for his recovery. He has to go to urgent care this morning. I mean, it's not funny, but he is taking care of himself. So, and under the guidance and supervision of his lovely wife. Okay. All right, let's pray. So, Father God, we thank you for this evening. We dedicate our time to you, Lord. We dedicate ourselves unto you, God. To God be the glory, Lord. Work in us what is well-pleasing to you, God. I thank you for that, Lord. Work in us, according to your word, what is well-pleasing to you, God. And we thank you, Father. We look to you, God. For every aspect and every need, Lord. And we thank you, God. I look to you for my strength. I look to you for my peace and my assurance. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that you are a strong tower and a refuge, Lord. And we run to you, God. We run unto you, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Also now, the affirmation was, let's see if I have this, okay. So the Reformation time period was from 1517 to 1688. There were, you know, a handful of different people who participated in the Reformation and who kept it going and whatnot. But because Martin Luther is our leader, we're just going to refer to him when we refer to the Reformation here tonight. So when he put his 95 theses on the church door, we all know this is the church, the Roman Catholic Church, right? Because it was on the other side and the states weren't, you know, it was on the Eastern and the Western wasn't quite established as much. So, excuse me. And when he did this, what happened? There were three basic presuppositions that were proposed during the Reformation and what they were doing. So, and there's also what's called they reaffirmed, they restated, and they replied. And mostly because, unfortunately, the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, well, it was the biggest church at the time and over in that area, you know, that, but they were off. They were off on many things. They have kind of have a history of being off, unfortunately, but this is true. Anyways, when they did that, the reformers were reasserting the priesthood for all believers because in it, and actually I guess John Calvin reassured against apostasy. He was saying, okay, I'm sorry, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But so what was happening with the and the Roman Catholic Church is that they were, well, hold on a second. I am so sorry. I don't know what is going on this evening. Okay, number one, let me just say the three basic tenets here. The kingdom of God is spiritual. Man is prophet, priest, and king under a sovereign God, and there is no institutional interposition between God and man. And that's really where the Catholic Church was off in the priesthood, right, and saying they needed to go to the priest to confess their sins and absolution and all of that jazz, you know, and then them give them the, you know, order or pattern of making themselves clean or whatever. And also acts, you know, like they had to work for their salvation. That was another thing. There was things that were going on like that. So anyways, so the priesthood, again, was for all believers, and they were kind of, exposing it for what it was and for the sake of the people, right? Because God created this relationship and gave his holy word, revealed himself in it. And the Catholic Church, unfortunately, was making it more difficult for the people, not easier. You know, they didn't boil down the gospel, you know, and they were having to work for their salvation and all of that. So, so this is what this is about. And I'm sure you guys listening probably even know more than that. Okay, so let me say, and in their terms of that man, well, let me just start with the first one, is that, so basically when they're saying the kingdom of God is spiritual, I'm just boiling these down, okay, is that God, it's his rule, and that he is center and final with all authority, and his word, again, is final, and the Bible is created, and everything in time and space is under him as it's created by God, under his ruleship. Okay, and so when they say that was the first one, and then the second one was man as prophet, priest, king under a sovereign God, what they're saying about the prophet part is not necessarily referring to the gift of prophecy. They're just saying that the reality is that God let each person know the knowledge of his truth. That's what they're calling a prophet, is that God has revealed through his word the reality of the knowledge of his truth, and that God reveals himself as being in pursuit of fallen man. So that's what they mean by prophet. So they're not necessarily, again, referring to the gift of prophecy when they refer to that. And then that man is king. Basically, it's the mandate to take dominion over the land, right, to rule. And take dominion in the land. And then priest, again, that was our priesthood, and we didn't have to have somebody else in the church or in the institution proposing that we needed to go to them in order to get to God again. We had full access to God's word, even to interpret it, right? This is where the interpretation came, where we can read God's word ourselves, and the hermeneutics, or however you say that, I think I said that correctly, and the basis on studying the Bible and opening the word and reading it ourselves. Really, they put all this into place, and I see that, and it really, for centuries, and over continents, you know, the Puritans took this up. It just went from, you know, the British to North America, and it spread. And again, it was for centuries, and it still stands true today, right, because nothing's new under the sun. And it had a lot of, obviously, influence because it was truth. This is why it was lasting, is because it was truth. And it was for all people in all places. And that certainly is the scripture and how God designed it. Okay, so it wasn't just a short-lived things that happened like during the Industrial Revolution and just philosophies that were trying to correct erroneous thinkings or injustices that were happening in the moment, which those will always come up. But the things that are lasting definitely are derived from truth, a sure foundation of truth and biblical truth, and then the framework of, again, truth and our value and humanity, how we think and feel created in his image, and then also treating other people. So those are the things that are lasting in the foundational framework, if you will, for Christianity. So in this Reformation, and, you know, and God really, he did all of this because he loves us, and he loves the world. So we do have to remember that he loves the world. Here we are in the world, placed here as kingdom, you know, as representatives of his kingdom. and get a new perspective on that. And how are we bringing the kingdom of God on earth? How is it transforming the very nature and the very place that we are? And I will tell you that, there is clashing of kingdoms that are happening, and even, it is spiritual. And sometimes we have relationships, in our sphere of influence with various shadows of darkness that we bump up against, not intentionally. It's just the kingdom of God and God revealing something maybe in them, buffering something in us, whatever it might be, or both, And so we're going to have that. But we want to ask the Lord, really, how are we being a good representation for his kingdom? And we know that it's spiritual and where he has us, right? And there's, what's called, as you guys know, the seven mountains, but the seven realms or spheres of what was known as the Holy Commonwealth by the Puritans and the Reformation, which is because you bring God into every area in your life, right? It's not compartmentalized. And you guys know that because here you are on a Tuesday night. So, which is law, school, church, civil, social, arts, economics, and international, relational areas. So all of those areas. So again, wherever God has you, even if you're just working at the grocery store, if you're working part-time, whatever it might be, volunteering at the grocery store, wherever it might be, that you are his light and you are his kindness and his hands and his feet and the kingdom of God. How, right, we're seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. So that's what we want to do. And we don't want to put any type of, we don't want to impose anything between God and man. We want to actually be looking for that. I think this in this third point, we want to be looking for this today. In this hour, that we don't want to, whoever's putting a wedge or a hindrance or a blockage, even if it's pride, their own pride or their lack of understanding in the word, if it's putting a hindrance there, we really want that mountain to be removed, even if it's a speed bump in some ways, and maybe if it's not something we can just let go or get over, it does need to be something that's confronted, right, with truth and grace and a heart to redeem and understand the other person and, being able to work through all that. Yeah, so, but we are going to bump up against some things, and we want to be looking for any wedge that is, and even if it's any institutional structure, it started in the church, right? It started in the Catholic Church. There's nothing new under the sun. So, let's not be naive to think that it couldn't be happening today and whatever that is, right? And there was a certain realm there of that they wanted to have the authority over the people, and it was displaced from what the authority was that God had given them to function in. Okay, because man is not central and man is not sovereign. So neither do we trust in those things. Even when we need to move ahead, even if you are in ministry, right, the Lord will help you refocus and reshift if that's what's needed. And even in the workplace, right? I mean, we work and cooperate, but then there's a whole other sense of they're not necessarily central and they're not sovereign. So we don't displace them in our eyes or in the function that God has them in the role that they function in. So it's more so as a vertical, right? So it's man or us looking to God. And it's not this horizon, horizontal view of man looking to man. And that's what we see a lot of, you know, humanistic and naturalism and most of the isms that come through is man looking to man for absolute answers. And one thing that I'm seeing too is that I'm seeing very, very subtly people begin to diminish and defragmentize Jesus as he was fully man and fully God, but they want to lean heavily on the fully man part and kind of re-indoctrinate him into just a human and really strip him of his deity. And if that's the case, which it's not, then, you know, that's where our salvation lies. That's where all the gospel, all the, right? So we have to be careful. That's another area that we have to be careful. It's very subtle when you talk to people about Christ. Listen to what they're saying because they're getting their worldview from the culture that we're living in today. And so we want to hear that, you know, that they, like, you know, it's like, you know, they say the cancel culture, you know, they want to cancel his rule. They want to cancel his natural law. They want to cancel his authority. And they just want to cancel Jesus, you know, basically for who he is and make him into what they want him to be. And it's a man-to-man thing, right? It's not man looking vertically. They're not even, they're just using his name, but they're not looking vertically at all. And someone recently, John and I were in the store at Big Lots purchasing something. And I forget, John said something just because he's just a natural evangelist. He said something to sow a seed. And the young girl said something about Jesus being a man, well, like just like us. And so anyway, you know, interesting, but I thought, wow, that's, how did that get so diluted and diminished? And she was probably under 20 years old. But, and I think that the influence of, you know, social media, podcasts, AI, all of that is influencing, has a great influence and restricted in its view, really, because it's not entirely accurate. Okay, so in the let's go to the Declaration. So the Declaration was written, you know, really with a biblical worldview of God's order and governing under his rulership of the people, right? And they were exposing to some degree and declaring that they were not going to be under the monarchy of all-powerful tyranny of the British rule. They were separating, the colonies were separating themselves from that and saying, we are not living under that. We're going to, you know, take on the laws of nature, the natures of God. We're entitled to them. And, you know, they're inalienable rights and that they would secure these rights and the right of the people and to the colonies. Okay, so they were doing all of that. And then they began to say, what was going on at the time? They listed all of these things and talking about the tyranny and what the British people were doing and imposing taxes, as you know, without their consent and fatiguing them into compliance with their measures. And a lot of things they were using are words of opposing them, obstructing, refusing, obstructing, right? So they were just a, again, a monarchy that was all-powerful to the people. And the Declaration of Independence for our nation, soon-to-be nation at the time, is no, not going to do it, okay? And the truth that we hold self-evident, they were holding to that. So I really feel like, I mean, they were at a breaking point, and I just really feel, you know, this, we have to pay attention because there's nothing new under the sun. And it says in every stage of these oppressions, so they list all of them, and then they're calling them oppressions. They were oppressing the people. And I don't know if anyone heard me say last week, I was going to talk about something I felt I was seeing that the Holy Spirit or the enemy was doing. And then I said, well, no, maybe I'll talk about it next week. It literally is oppression. It is oppression. This is what I'm seeing the enemy do. So I want to talk about this after. We'll come back to this because I do have notes on that as well. But another week, talk about oppression and actually pray through that. I think that's what we're going to do here too. So anyway, so that they made petitions in humble terms. And it says they only answered with repeated injury. Calling him a tyrant, calling the prince and his character is marked by a defiant tyrant and is unfit to rule of a free people. And then here it says, we have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislator to extend unwarrantable jurisdiction over us, and we have reminded them. We have appealed, so it's like they were making efforts. They were being very vocal about what they were doing, and thus, you know, was formed the Declaration of Independence, right? It says they, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice. So, okay, and then it says, we, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress Assembly, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for to recite our intentions for the people of the colonies. These colonies are right to free and independent states, absolved from any alliance from the British Crown, and all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is thought to be totally dissolved as free and independent states, and have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliance, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may or right do. As for support of this declaration, we firm alliance on protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. So they were working together, and then all the men signed it from the states. Okay. Now, this is what we have today. This is the Declaration of Independence, and we need to remember our liberties and our freedoms and what a government, why they pulled away from Great Britain and what that looked like, because we're not trying to reestablish that during our time now. And then the Constitution was actually written in 1787, so 11 years later, the Constitution came, and they were really had the same biblical worldview and realities that God is ruler and sovereign, and they really were setting it up knowing because of what they had walked through, right? They already had the fortitude and were strengthened because of everything that they went through. They sat down and did that and seen that that people with power could become all powerful and, you know, suppress and oppress the people with that power. And that's what our Constitution is written for. So, I mean, you can maybe Google that, but we, the people, just need to be aware of, you know, we don't want history to repeat itself. And what has been established for us, we don't want it rewritten and redocumented as something else, you know. And I hope those people that are super smart and can take the documents and rewrite things. I know that there are books written and doing comparisons and bringing order and structure to what's happening today. in comparison to what has been established for us yesterday, that it might stand as a pillar and a structure and a system of, you know, secure basis for us to build on, and not just for us, but, you know, the generations behind us, our children and our children's children, that they might walk on that. Okay. And then the clear view of Jesus. So, and just going over that, that man can't make Jesus, right? That's what they did kind of like with Frankenstein. They wanted to make him into a man that was powerful. He was strong. His structure was secure, right? They were creating him into the person they needed and the things that they wanted and they needed, and they were transforming that, you know, into their power, into their mold, into their thinking and their likeliness, which was nothing like. And then it got out of hand, which that's, you know, what happens. And so, yeah, so that is, hold on one second. Hold on, I have to mute you for a second. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I was going to sneeze. So so we want to see purely who Jesus is, that he's high and lifted up. So if anything, really know who Christ is, and who he's not, who the world says he's not, so that when you have conversations, you can help guide people with truth. Because it's very important, right? Their eternal life is at stake, and this is not our, you know, this is not our world. This is not our landing place here. And we're, yeah. So let's be mindful of the kingdom of God and how we're doing that, even to those around us, being a light and encouraging them in their walk. You know, I mean, we love God. We're older. You know, the younger generation sometimes has told us that they are encouraged by our fervency and perseverance. They find it encouraging and walking and continuing with the Lord with such love and, you know, love for him. And, you know, just worshiping him, just loving him and worship and following him, you know, in spite of the trials, the tribulations, the stresses, and such things. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are a light, even when we don't know God. So we thank you, Father God. Lord, I pray for the listeners here, Lord, that they would be encouraged, God, that they would get a word of encouragement, even this week, Father, that for others, Lord, would that see them and know them, would encourage them with genuineness and sincerity in building them up, Father God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that, God, that they can see how they're growing in you, God, and how they've labored, Lord, and been steadfast. That others see it, Lord, and not to puff ourselves up, God, but to show us, Lord, that we're on the right track and to kind of mirror and reflect back, Lord, how we're expressing ourselves, Lord, in ways that are very maybe natural to us, but others are taking it in, and it's significant, God, it's significant to them. Father God, even that we show up in church, you know, or that we show up at the invitation, Lord, whatever that is, Father, I thank you, Lord, for working, again, working in us what is well-pleasing to you, Lord, and that we are yielded to that. And Jesus, We pray with the anointing of heaven, God, and your oil, Lord, that we would speak into the places where people have erroneous, misguided perceptions and beliefs about Jesus. Lord, may we melt away every false power and precept, Lord, that is not a firm foundation, Lord. We thank you for using us in such a manner, God. May we have a unity with you, God, a unity in declaring, just like the states, Lord, and the colonies had unity in declaring, Father God. And in our unity, God, may it ignite in this nation, Lord, and in these states, in some of these same states, Lord, that were in the colonies, Father God. In Jesus' name, Lord, and I know that's the Carolinas, Lord, and this is where you have us for such a time as this. So there's no coincidence, if you will, you know, but this is where the Lord has you, you know, in the other states, in all of the colonies, Father God, and beyond, Lord, across the states, Lord, we're all united, Lord. So we thank you for using us, Lord, to build your kingdom and to ignite your kingdom, Father God, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not my... Okay. All right, hold on now. Oh, stay there. Stay there. Okay, let's open our first phone line. God bless you. 502-548. Good evening. Thank you for joining us. This is Greg.
This is Greg.
Good evening. Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me mute you and pray for you, and then I'll come back and open your phone line. All right, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Greg in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just take authority, Lord, just take authority right now, God, over any interference in the spirit. In Jesus' name, this is I thank you, Father God, Lord, for the purity of thought, God, and the purity of your word, Lord, and the purity of your spirit to flow here at PGN, Lord. And anything, Lord, that would try to come against it, in the name of Jesus, I take authority and bind it now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that that you expose it and bring it into the light, God, and purify it, God, for your glory, God, Lord, and be a pure vessel and a pure with your purity and your refining fire to be upon that. In Jesus' name, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord. We lift up Greg to you, God, in Jesus' name. And before your throne, Father, you know, in Ezekiel, you know, I'm seeing like it was the wheel. Oh, I have to look that up. But the wheel inside of the wheel. Hold on. I think it was Ezekiel 1. Okay, I was going to say, it's verse 15, I think. I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creature, one of each of the four of them. As the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like gleaming beryl, and four had the same likeness, their appearance construction being within the wheel. So like a wheel within a wheel. And when they went in the four directions without turning, and the rims were tall and awesome, and the rims of all four were full of eyes around them, and the moon with the wheels went beside them, and the living creatures rose from the earth. Where the spirit wanted to go, they went, and the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those rose from the earth, the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Okay. Okay, yeah, so I mean, the thing above that is talking about the glory of the Lord. So we thank you, Father God. So I'm seeing, like, literally, I don't know how to describe that in one of them, but it was kind of like a wheel inside of a wheel, but maybe something like, but it's, I don't know if you call that a wheel. It's, well, it is a wheel because it's round and it spins, but it's like what I'm seeing. And then that verse came to mind. So a wheel inside of a wheel, I don't know if it's necessarily, that's what I've seen. So because I know that that could be symbolic as well. So we thank you, Lord, for the function of that, Lord, and I'm not even sure what all of that means, Lord, but we thank you, Lord, how your spirit leads, and you know that sometimes there's things inside of, you know, where David said, tonight in the city of David, like he gave a word, David gave a word in the city of David, and it's like a prophecy inside a prophecy, you know, and you know, there was a place in Luke where he said he opened the scroll and he began reading to them. And he was literally reading. He just opened it and was reading to them literally like what he was literally happening, like the prophecy that he was in the midst of unfolding to them and speaking to them. That's what he began to read to them as he just opened it up, you know. And so, you know, I don't know if there's an aspect there. And even looking further, like what's inside of that, like what's inside of the word, how the spirit is moving and functioning, but staying in the flow of the spirit, right, staying in the movement, first of the Lord and then following, but yet there's something more inside of that, right? Just like how people say that when they search truth, like it's multifaceted in the Word of God, like they pull it out and it has different facets and different truths, like that gem does, you know? And so does the Spirit of the Lord when he moves us and shows us things. There's things inside of that that are there, you know, just like you could go to a conference or whatever and stay at a hotel, or you're at a hotel for one purpose and then other things begin to unfold within it, you know, within the purpose, following the flow of the Holy Spirit, you know. So we thank you for that. We thank you, God, for that, for Greg. God, the flow, the following and the flow of the Spirit, God, and even seeing beyond that, God, beyond the initial movement and following, Lord, the things that are all-encompassing, Lord, and every movement that you have, Lord, it's not, we probably miss many of them, or miss more than we would like to admit. But we thank you, Father God, for working in his life, Lord, and the wind of the Spirit blowing, Lord, and the movement to follow. We thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, so what do you got going on?
Second week into a new job that I think is going to be really good, and really felt like God was very involved in my being there. God is teaching a lot quickly. He has brought restoration, self-awareness repentance. Just, you know, a lot of eye-opening, ear-opening, heart-opening stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Very good. That's great. Well, I know we were praying for you here on PGN about your job and whatnot, so that's cool to hear.
That was a really amazing story because I was up for another job, and they pretty much told me it was mine. And it's in the same field I was in before with automotive paint and supplies, but with the manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
But they're out of London, England, so there was some personal logistic issues. Because of them coming across, they'd only hired two people in the U.S. so far. I would have been the third, and they realized in the process of getting the first two onboarded that they were not prepared for that. So there became this big lag time. And you know, the short version is they're like, hey, they want you. They do not want to lose you, but they got to get this stuff straight. And while that in that interim, while they had me on pause, a recruiter had sent me an email. I think that they'd gotten me probably off of LinkedIn or Indeed or something like that, and just started sending me random emails with jobs that might match. And one of them popped up, and it was an automotive auction company that I knew well. I knew very well of them, and I competed against them back in 16, 17, 18. So I knew very well about them. But I saw it, and I was like, you know, just in case something happens, this other job doesn't pan out, I should probably take a shot at this. So I did. Quickest hiring, interviewing process I've ever been through in my life. It was from the first interview to the time they said that we're going to hire you was less than a week. So like the recruiter called and everything went great and he was blown away and he's like, yeah, so the hiring manager for this position is typically what he does, and I think this is on a Wednesday. This hiring manager, the recruiter said, yeah, he typically what he'll do is he'll wait until, he gets a good pool of applicants and then he'll start, you know, calling for interviews. He said, but I really want to get you in front of him and I'll let you know, I'll keep you updated. So, and it was about a 1 hour Zoom interview with the recruiter, and it was supposed to end, the last 5 minutes were supposed to be a Zoom call. But we didn't get to it because the interview went so long. He goes, hey, is it okay if we regroup later? And I said, yeah, sure. So we ended up regrouping on the Zoom call at 8 o'clock that night. And it was a short one. It was only about 5 minutes. He's like, I really think that you're the guy for this job. He said, I'm going to go ahead and send your information and my notes over to the hiring manager. And I'm like, hey, I appreciate that very much. And 20 minutes after I got off the Zoom call, he texted me, and he said, are you available to talk? I said, sure. So I called him, and he's like, well, I sent all your stuff over, and that hiring manager called me back, and he wants to do his Zoom call with you. I think it was Friday, like a day, two days later. And I'm like, great. Oh. So he did. It went really well. And, I mean, at the end of the interview, he's like, Greg, you have checked off all my boxes. Yeah, I'm like super excited, and I really, really think that, you know, that you're the guy. He said, "Let me, you know, do my due diligence, da da da, and I'll get back with you." And he's in Indianapolis. I'm in Louisville. It's only 2 hours apart. And he said, "We're not that far apart." He said, "I may try and connect with you, you know, soon." I'm like, "I'm open. I'll whatever day, whenever." I said, "I'll even drive up there over the weekend. I mean, I'm that serious about it." So he came to Louisville that following Tuesday. I interviewed with his boss that Wednesday and had my offer letter, I think, that Thursday.
Oh, wow, fantastic.
It went that quick. The other company had already committed to, they hadn't given me an exact amount, but I told them what I wanted for a base, and they didn't even bat their eye. And so, I mean, that would have been in there, and had they offered, I would have taken it. And I would have never even seen that job, wouldn't even looked at it when it came through. And so I just think that was really God that
put that clause in place so that I would be able to see that other job.
Yeah, wow, that's great. That definitely is the grace of God. He does, when he puts things together like that, that seem to go so smoothly and so quickly, and all the pieces are fitting together. It's not like someone's
absolutely
jamming it in there. Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear that you're doing really well and God's confirming even, you know, the application of applying the work. And, you know, just a couple of weeks that you've been there. So that's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, on the other side of that, I don't think Jennifer would be upset with me sharing this, but, you know, she and I have been engaged for almost coming up on 2 years. And it's been
congratulations.
It's been unbelievably amazing and beautiful at times, and other times it has just been just had struggles. And it's, I don't, you know, if she wants to speak more to it, she has freedom to speak whatever she wants. But I only say that to say that he's just shown up time and time again in our relationship. He's given us so many prophetic words. He has shown us things that, I mean, that you just, you cannot give credit to anything other than God. And even though, mm-hmm. you know, we still will have that occasional, you know, misunderstanding or just that blending, you know, even after 2 years, it's still trying to get that blending. And she lives about 6 hours from me. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, sometimes that comes into play. Other times it doesn't matter. I mean, there have been times where I've literally left after work on Friday to go see her and come back on Sunday. But that being said, just that's just another area that has just really shown up. And in the last few days especially, and I'm sure she would wholeheartedly agree that it's at times mind-blowing. And I've often said, because I've had a lot of relationship struggles in my past, and this job thing, my career thing, this path has – it's just like I have always seen God's hand in it. Yeah, I mean, like so clearly that, like where I've literally been on 6 month pauses and getting to that end of this, like, okay, God, I mean, I gotta have income. I'm just like doing side stuff and odd jobs and, you know, consulting and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
just to get some income. But there was twice mm-hmm. that I went 6 months, and both times it was like that last minute provision, you know, where you just, when you're just like, I mean, like God, something's got to break, and
mm-hmm.
and then you get this job. And they were good jobs, but they would change. So they were like for a season, because they would change my position, eliminate my position, move me to another one, you know, or stuff like that. It just, so he filled that need. He took care of that provision for a season. But every time it seemed like something else came into that place. My 61st birthday will be in June, and, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I mean, I want
sure.
this job to be the last one. And I really have this peace. And, you know, even the second weekend, just the way that the company works, the way that my boss works, the way that he and I work together, I think this would be that place, that fit. And they've given me, you know, started me with a beautifully attractive package that I mean, was very generous. So again, you know, just another blessing, confirmation from God. And a pathway
yeah.
to almost unlimited, you know, income with the incentives and bonuses. So it's just, and I'd always said, and I told Jennifer, I'm like, you know, this is the one place God's always showed up. You know, I don't know why that he chose this particular place, you know, that it's always shown up, you know, in the career path. And
mm-hmm.
and I feel like he's like kind of opening my eyes. And it's like, if you don't see me showing up for you and Jennifer in the last 2 years and a few months, then you need to get your vision checked. So he's reminding me, he's like, you know, no, I'm there. But the
that's cool. You know, that's kind of when you were talking. Thank you for sharing that. When you were talking, you said the word fit. I just went back to that wheel, like the thing inside of the wheel, because it's something when it fits together like that, it's like it's inside of there. Okay, so you got this job, everything externally works, and then now, you know, the package and the you know, the working with the manager, and you can see the long-term vision, you know, how it fits inside
right.
of the wheel, inside of the
yes.
wheel, like it fits, it's all fitting together, and things with you and Jen, you know, so that's cool.
Yeah.
And that is the spirit, because we can't produce, we can't manufacture those kinds of things on our own, you know.
No, you can't make you can't manifest a job. I don't care what the New Agers say. I mean, I know that there's a very God and Holy Spirit aspect of, you know, what manifesting really is, not the twisted
New Age, yeah.
other version that's been counterfeited. But, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, it, but still, yeah, absolutely. Things that just, and, you know, it's like this one, he's like, I know that you see this. I know that you see how I've done this, and I know that you acknowledge and are aware that this has been a place that I've really, you know, had my hand on. The way mm-hmm. this one came through, it was almost like, it's like, I'm gonna make sure that you know that you know that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that this could not have come but by me, because I wasn't
yeah,
looking for that
true.
Job and I didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, I ran into a recruiter that just was, he was absolutely adamant that I was the person for this job, and he pushed for me. And so, and it's his favor. I mean, it's just God's favor. It's just, he, just like he, you know, touched the heart of so many people. Like
yeah.
Pharaoh, you know, he'll harden
right,
hearts
right.
When he has to.
Right.
But he will soften them. And he will give favor, and yeah, so I see a lot.
That's good. That's such a great testimony, I think, for all of us to hear and be reminded, because in a practical sense, when we're taking steps, there can be a lot of changes in that particular arena in life, you know, in our jobs and provision
yeah.
and that kind of thing. So it's a
absolutely.
Very cool testimony. Yeah, to just, yeah, very cool.
Having said all that, as testimony and all the calls I've made to PG&U, to Deborah and some of the other, I'm sorry, Deborah, to you and Jeannie mostly, but to
right.
others. And I think one time in all those times that I have prayed while, you know, on, and it may have been with you that you've asked me, I've never volunteered. I've never said, hey, this just hit me. Maybe I should pray, but hey, this just hit me. You know, for people that are listening, that, you know, have struggled with career stuff or relationship stuff. And I'm just
mm-hmm.
going to assume that God is like, maybe I should just, you know, say a quick prayer for those that are battling those struggles that haven't seen his hand in those places.
Yes, for sure. I was thought of that earlier. So that definitely is a confirmation. So, yeah.
That would be a confirmation for me too. All right, Father God, I come to you now, and I thank you for the host of PGN. I thank you for the ministries that you've done through there, how you've touched my life, Jennifer's life, our relationship, and so many others. And I just want to lift up the platform, the hosts, Randy and Jeannie and Deborah and Terrence and Tanisha and all the others that we have talked with that have been really
yes.
alongside us on this journey. And right now, I want to thank you for everything you've done in my career, what you've shown me and taught me in this relationship with Jennifer, what a beautiful, amazing, gifted woman that you have provided. I just want to lift everyone listening up right now, those that are listening live and that will listen to the recorded versions, but the people that are out there that are struggling in career, struggling in relationships and even health. I'm a 3-time cancer survivor that God has just been there so beautifully every time and put the right doctors mm-hmm. in place and the right things to happen that I'm still here. And I'm still here to give testimony. So and all those things that he has touched my life, that I just want to lift everyone up. And if you're listening, regardless of how and where, and you're feeling those things, I speak blessings over you in the name of Jesus. And I am a testimony. Jennifer is a testimony. We are both testimonies that God listens. God moves. And sometimes we get impatient, and sometimes we start to turn and twist or start to pull, you know, like, wait a minute, and let our will get involved. But God has stayed. He has kept us. He's the glue. And his hand moves. And just stay strong. Stay faithful. God will provide. And sometimes he's at the end of the rope at your very last minute. He'll show up. He will come through. He will provide. And I speak that blessing on all of you, that God will move in such a great, mighty way that you cannot see any other way, but this was God's hand. Trust him, believe him, that he will do it. He will do it. In your name we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We receive the declaration of the testimony, God. Even we know Jen's heart is, we know, Lord, she set her faith in agreement with that prayer, Father God. And so the agreement, Lord, we agree with the agreement and the testimony of two, Father God, that you repeat it, Lord, that you repeat your word, Lord. And we thank you that you're not a respecter of persons, Lord, but you're faithful to your promises and to your ways, God. So we just receive it, Lord, even if it's whatever it might be, we receive it for ourselves, for our family members, Lord, whatever that was on our heart, Lord, that prayer was breathing on and giving hope, God, we receive it in Jesus' name, and we honor you, Father God. We honor you, Lord, and we look to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Deborah, and everyone listening.
Well, thank you. God bless you, too. And we do love the PGN family, so that's cool that how the whole family has ministered to you. That's very cool.
Absolutely.
God bless you. Okay, I'm going to pick up Jen's call here. Okay, thank you. Oops. Okay, all righty. All right. Okay, good evening, Jen. How are you?
I'm blessed, very blessed. God is good. God is good.
Yes.
Faithful.
So we appreciate the testimony. Okay, let me mute you for a second, and then I'll come back and talk to you. Father God, thank you for Jen. Lord, we lift her up to you, Father God, and we thank you for what you're doing, Lord, and Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. You know, I've seen you, like, put on these pair of tennis shoes, you know? They're like these modern-day tennis shoes that the kids wear. I mean, I say kids, but, like, you know, 30-something age wears. And you know, like you're tying them and you're getting up, you know, and it's like and I was watching it for a moment. It was what the silence was, and the Lord saying, you know, she's fit to run the race. She is fit to run the race. And you know, you were just tying up those laces, getting them snug, secure in place, and, you know, popped up on your feet. And the Lord I just heard the word, she is fit. You know, because internally I was asking the Lord, what is that, even though I didn't say it out loud. And I heard him say, she is fit to run the race that is set before her. So, Father, thank you. Wow, Lord, that's so precious. You know, when the Lord speaks a word of affirmation that he sees and he knows and he has that confidence, when he speaks that word of he sees and he knows and he has the confidence in you, you know, he's bringing it forth like a declaration, you know, she's fit to run the race. So we thank you, Father God, for the completion of that race, Lord. We thank you that you are the author and the finisher of the race, Lord, and that you're with her, Lord, that you're even on the sidelines, Lord, offering her those cups of refreshing, Father God, and even during those breaks, Lord, and that the marathon runners have, Lord, that you're there supplying, you're her staff and her team and her coach and her refresher, God, all of it, God, that you're there, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you, Father God, and let her eyes see. You know, I think that the Lord is going to have your eyes see Jesus and other people more and more, that the Lord's placed them in your path, place them in your lives, and, you know, you're just going to get a glimpse, like you're going to catch eye movement, you know, where you're, you know, your eyes are locked for a second, you know, with some people that you don't know them very well, sometimes that can be a little uncomfortable, you know, like, oh, you know, but the Lord's going to have you see Jesus in them. You're going to get a glimpse of the Jesus in them. Like, you're going to see their vessel and know their vessel, but you're going to, it's going to be this glimpse where in the spirit where you just see the Jesus in them, and the reality of the Jesus in them, which is incredibly beautiful. So we thank you, Father, for this, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. May your people be graced with your presence, and the presence of others. Lord, may we be graced with your presence and the presence of others. We thank you, God. Just receive it. I receive that myself as well, Lord. Just receive it in Jesus' name. You know, let me open your phone line. Yeah, I've had that happen, you know, once or twice. It's really kind of cool. Like, it's for a moment, you kind of freak out for a second because you just see it in the spirit, like God's living in that person and they're, like, right there, you know.
But yeah,
it's not
that's
so much
been
what they're
happening.
Doing. It's like you, it, mm-hmm. is it really? Yeah. It's,
yes.
It's cool.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I don't think I, you know, it, you know, you said it very well. But yeah, it's just a knowing that, oh, you know, that person is made in his image, and I literally look at people and can see, like, Jesus, and it, like, I wouldn't say alters, because my heart, I mean, is for people and I love to love people, but it's just enabled me to not look at them with such you know, judgmental eyes. It's just, I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, it's definitely amazing. And I don't think I, you know, without his spirit, it allows me to have the patience that I need. And I mean, when I'm walking in the spirit, I can, he just, it's just getting easier, you know, for me. To accept, I mean, I'm just going to say it. I mean, it's been really difficult, a lot of oppression and affliction. And at times, I mean, it can make me very, very weary. And, but God has just allowed me to see Jesus. And in that, like with everything that I go through, or even allowing me to see that in people like Christ crucified, and then resurrected, if that makes sense. He's just every situation that I've been in, he just like flips it and just shows me his heart and all that, like what he experienced. I don't really know how to explain it, but that's kind of what's happening. Like, that is already happening for sure.
That's good. Very good.
I guess it's just like a pouring of love and truth into my heart, and then opening my eyes to see life from, or a person from his perspective, and myself, because that's been a journey. Like, my journey has been trying to, I'm finally seeing my value and my worth and knowing my identity in him, and he's just been replacing the lies with truth and empowering me in him. Mental makeover, unchaining, reconciling, tearing down, rebuilding. Walking in forgiveness,
yeah.
And instead of, you know, hurt, guilt, shame, just this radical transformation in the interior.
That's really great. So
thanks so much. We can
go ahead.
I think so many times, you know, we our focus is on our life, ourselves, our life, and what's going on. But I just, it's like I'm a photographer, so, you know, we have these different lenses, and some of them are, you know, you can see farther, and it's like the focus, you know, when you know, the f-stops and all that, you can really zoom in on something specific, and it's like, he's just teaching me, like, don't focus so much on your life. Like, the focus needs to be, our focus needs to be on God, not our lives. And when our focus is on Him, our lives just seem to, I mean, not that they're going to be perfect, but it just seems to, I mean, you can deal with those hurts and things better because, it, you know, it's just like not having our eye on the storm, basically. It's having our eyes on Jesus instead of what is happening. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, earlier when I was talking about, like, that vertical opposed to the horizontal, but, like, the vertical, when we do, when, man, you know, when we keep our eyes on the Lord, and even though it's not just our biblical worldview when we look at man, sometimes it is our belief system, though, if we're thinking this person needs to do this for my life when God already said He would do that. So, like, if we're looking for other people to fulfill something or an expectation there, or for them to discover you in some way, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's
it's going to cause a tailspin at some point. You're going to be.
The outcome, you know, one thing is, like, I just, you know, when I feel like God's telling me to remind everybody, like, the outcome is always dependent on God's timing and His tender intervention. You know, God has not, you know, forgotten you. He's not, I mean, His promises are true, but it's the outcome, you know, and sometimes the outcome isn't what we want or desire. He knows the outcome and He knows our hearts, our desires, but it's more importantly the plans and purposes that He has designed us to fulfill. But that is all dependent on His timing and intervention. And, you know, without His intervention, like, I mean, seen lots of miracles. And, I mean, God, He's not slow. He's not slow. As we have a tendency to think, he's right on time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. And interesting you say that part. So so when you were saying that about the outcome of intervention and this tender timing or however you said that, it reminded me, like, when I first opened about saying why this is important, when I opened about saying encouraging someone or just even receiving that encouragement from someone unexpectedly.
Yes.
In our lives, like praying for someone, you know, because sometimes God has us in a place where we're like, okay, so, like, I can flow generally in two streams, which is charismatic and then evangelical. But sometimes I can bump into some stuff in both realms, but for sure in the other one, you know. So I can bump up against some stuff there. And if I'm not careful, the people's, like, reaction and what they expect from me can put me in a box. And that's not my identity. And that, I know that's not the word of God. And do you know what I'm saying? And so it's important that I think, and this could be for somebody else, maybe God has you in the workplace and you know you're there for a reason or a season, or this is just how God's equipped you to work or function or whatever it might be. But you do feel that clashing of kingdoms happening, you know, that, but that somebody tells you on that side of that, in that realm, where you're walking by the grace of God, but you're bumping up against things, for them to say, hey, you've been a real encouragement to me, or, hey, like, I watched you worship. It is so precious. Do you know what I'm saying? Because then you can say, oh, okay, well, my light is shining, or, you know what I mean? Like, that's a humble place. It's just me before God, but you guys all just happen to be in the room at the same time, you know? But you know what I'm saying? It helps encourage with this breath of God saying, see, it's more than what you're focusing on. Just like you're saying, it's what's happening is more than where your focus is. And, you know, you are bringing forth, you know, you're extracting and distilling his presence in that place, you know?
Oh, yeah. And it's obedience, because, I mean, he's put me in some situations where, I mean, anybody would freak out or be fearful, but, you know, where God sends you, his grace sustains you, and I can't explain it. It's just like, you just feel the power and the presence of God's protection. You know, you're surrounded, and, you know, just the grace to minister to others that who haven't been treated kindly, or that has never, ever felt the love of God, or you know, a lot of the love of people. Really, they haven't experienced love, period. And we're called to be light in the world, a light in the world, and unfortunately it's getting darker, and there needs to be more light as we, you know, die to ourselves and just, you know, ask God to use us mightily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know sometimes when I pray for people, and generally this is my husband's with me or whatever, but if it's, you know, like another male person when I'm praying, because the Spirit of God will move, and especially if they're called to be a leader, there's something about, like, it just comes with such ease, but it unlocks something in them sometimes, not just at the leader part, but then also, like what you're saying, like this healing and this love and meeting them in a place that they're not able, they haven't even really communicated yet, but I see it and I know it and I'm praying it. It makes them very uncomfortable because they're actually being loved by the Spirit there, that I'm very conscious of turning it back to the Lord. So they're not looking to me. Do you know what I'm saying? But they think that I met them there. Do you know what I'm saying? Not just clairvoyant, you know, it's the Spirit of God loving them and seeing them and wanting them to succeed. And I just reminded that God wants this of you. God sees this, you know. So so it is a very unique thing, and God does teach us how to walk through that for his glory, you know, and his purposes, you know, so we don't get entangled in the things of this world, but yet we are demonstrating how Christ demonstrated when he walked, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, and amen. I've been fortunate to where other people has recognized that it's Christ, but I have had one instance where, I mean, I basically had to escape, and but yeah, I mean, God is good.
Yeah. God is good, so praise God.
Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Praise God, and run your race with endurance for the glory of God.
Yes. I have a rock with a little, it's a girl. he shows me rocks, and the rocks have pictures in them. Like, it's crazy, but I actually have this rock, and it's a girl running. And I got another prophetic word. It was like 6 years ago, and she saw me running the race. And I haven't figured this out yet, but she had the number 17 on her. I need to pray about that. But, yeah.
Well, I know the number 17 has to do with victory.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, it could mean something more. you know, but that's funny that it's a race because you do want to have the victory when you run the race, you know.
Yes. Yes. Praise God.
So
glory to God.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yes. 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 That's awesome. Well, praise God. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
All right. You enjoy your week and have a blessed Resurrection Day on Easter.
You
God
too.
Bless you. Okay. Bye.
Bye. God bless.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Hey, I see that Nicole from, let me just open Nicole's line. Hold on here a second. Hey, Nicole from Louisiana.
Hi. Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, good. Were you listening last week and right? Was it last week? And I tried to send a text over to Randy to tell him at the end of the program, I seen that you were on there and then, oh no, I know what happened. I opened your phone line and I think you were with your daughter and you couldn't hear me or you didn't. So I said, I'll come back to you. And by that time, the end of the program, you were no longer there. So when I realized that, I said, well, at the end of the program, I said, I'm just going to pray for Nicole. So if you go back to last week's recording, you're the very last caller that I prayed for last week.
Oh, thank you. I think,
yeah,
I don't know if I cut off. Sometimes what happens is my phone hangs up and then I have to call back and then I get kicked out. So that's what happens.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was last week, right?
Yes, that was last week. So I'll go back and listen to it.
Okay, yeah. So I just wanted to play you up because when I text Randy and I said, because, you know, we just used your 504-282, and he said, mm-hmm. I can't find her number. I said, it's Nicole from Louisiana. And he goes, I can't find her number. And I'm like, well, I don't have anything else, you know. So,
yes.
So when I see, I'm glad that you, so I was like, oh, good. So let me pray for you. Let me mute you, pray for you. And then I'll come right back. Hold on one second. But I did want you to know that once, since I've seen your number, I wanted to make sure. So Father God, we thank you for Nicole, Father, in Jesus' name. And we lift her up to you, Father, at your throne and at your altar, God. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness shining down on her, God. And we thank you, Lord, just that you yourself, God, would roll away any stones, Father God, anything that would seem dead, Lord, or dormant or lifeless, in Jesus' name, Lord. The things, especially, Lord, maybe she's hidden in her heart, Lord, or has had doubts about, or, you know, not completely doubt, but like a lingering whisper of a doubt, Father, if it's going to happen. God, we ask that you would resurrect that, Lord, by your marvelous light, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that as she continues to follow you and to walk in your light, Father God, that you would continue to bring forth your light, the light of life, Lord, and the life that is in the light, God. Let it shine upon her, God. Let it bring forth healing, God. Let it even incubate, God, even now, God. Let it be like an incubation, God, of what you're birthing and what you're bringing forth and calling forth in her, Father God. We thank you for this, God. We thank you for your marvelous light, God. May it shine on all of us, Lord, and all of our paths, Lord. For your grace and your goodness, Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for shining upon her. Yeah, and I'm seeing this great light and this, like, even the warmth of the light. And again, it's almost like an incubation, like it's keeping it, you know, whatever stage it's in, it's keeping it. You know, the life, it's keeping the life producing light, God, to produce your ways, Father God. And we thank you, God. Shine upon it, God. Shine upon it in Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. And we all speak to, Lord, whatever mountain might be in the way, Lord, we just speak to those mountains, God, that they be removed, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Okay, praise God. Wow.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I believe, thank you so much for that prayer and word. I believe God is specifically, he's speaking to a situation that I have, like, grown doubtful in. Mm-hmm. And so this is great confirmation for me because I've been praying, like, is this something I should just let go? It's been something that for a long time I've been praying about. So when you said hidden in my heart, I know exactly what the Holy Spirit is speaking about. So much time has passed, kind of wondering if it's going to come to pass. And so specifically tonight I had prayed that prayer, for God to just basically increase my faith and hope again, because I kind of have come to a place of settlement and acceptance, like, well, if it doesn't happen, then it's okay. It may not happen, but but if it is God's will, and he plans on keeping his promise, and I know he's a promise keeper, but sometimes as time goes by you kind of wonder
right,
if and when. And so my daughter at school, she recently had some chicks hatch. And it's so funny, incubator. They've been sitting under this incubator light, and then they finally came out. So when you said incubation, I kind of flew what you meant. And I just had a dream. You were saying birthing. I just had a dream that I was pregnant. It was really weird. But I had a dream last night that I had a dream that I was pregnant. I can't remember
Yeah, that is so wild. I mean, that's just so wild to me, all the crossovers, and how I know the Lord heard your prayer. If you just said to him tonight, you had that tucked in your heart. It's so interesting how he just brought that to the forefront and like shined it back on you. And I almost said, Nicole, and I almost said like the chicks are, it's like chicks are hatching. I almost said that, but I said, and I should have just released it, but I said to myself, that doesn't make any sense at all. And so I didn't say it.
It makes exact sense to me.
So lesson learned on me, just to release it, whether it makes sense to me or not, so little faith of mine. So anyway, so that's cool that, so I don't know. I mean, you definitely don't have to tell us what that is, but the fact that the Lord would bring your daughter into this too and use that representation, I'm wondering, you can just say yes or no, don't have to say. I'm wondering if whatever it is that's tucked in your heart, which I'm sure your life is, whatever it is going to spill over on her, whatever that thing is, would definitely affect her and bring forth, yes.
Oh,
something
for sure.
In her life. So,
marriage. It's marriage.
Okay.
It's something that I've been praying about for a long time.
Okay.
So it would definitely affect her big time. So it's something that I really want to be careful about, and I want to make sure, God is involved in the decision making, and I'm in alignment with his will. So
for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's really interesting. That's very cool.
Really powerful. Yeah. That was
cool.
The baby.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
God bless
that's
you.
Good. Yeah, God bless you too. And so whatever last week's date was, might have been the 19th or something. Just again, go almost to the very end. So whatever that is, and then you can pick that up. So thank you so much for joining us. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Okay, have a good Easter. Bye bye.
You too.
Thank you. Okay, let me go back to where we were. We're here. 323. I think this is Frida from, is it California?
Yes. You're correct.
Okay, good. Okay, sometimes I can't get one or the other right or wrong. Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for staying with us here. Let me mute you for 1 second and pray for you. God bless you. So, Father God, we thank you for Frida, Father, in Jesus' name. We lift her up to you, Lord, and your throne of grace. So we thank you for moving in her life, Lord. And we thank you, God, for healing. I just feel like in my left hand a little awareness of something there. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. And that's kind of like not my healing hand, but that's usually where I feel it first, that there's some type of healing. So, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, Lord, for your praise and your purposes to come forth, God, your praise and your purposes in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes, and I do this too, like sometimes we can get bombarded with noise from earth or the enemy or things, you know, whatever it might be, like if it's just criticism or pat judgments, you know, like we just keep bumping up against things like that. You know, just going into praise, into worship, and just releasing it. And, you know, any part of my part, you know, just even doing this today, any on my part, I just repent to the Lord, right? And, you know, whatever that is, whatever he shows me, you know, however that is, you know, it's just going up higher and releasing it and letting it go and then begin to, you know, just pray for those people and bless them as best I can in a that feels authentic to me and genuine. Like I can't just do like a spiritual bypass. It has to be very, and even if I'm just saying, Lord, you bless them, I release them and you bless them, you know. And then other times I'm able to go a little bit further, right? So God's just like purging my heart, shaping and molding and breaking it and then making it pliable to him, you know. But I'm so saying to you, that like to go up higher in the praise of when I was saying praise and purpose and to go up higher in the praise and the purposes of God, really, you know, when he says we are seated in heavenly places. So we certainly get his perspective on things on earth, the things on earth, you know, as that song says, grow up strangely dim, you know, they don't have a hold on us or the same meaning. And we do gain his perspective and gain his wisdom and his word, you know, sometimes just worship for me too can be just sitting on the back porch quietly and reading his word, just reading chapter after chapter after chapter until I can't really read anymore. And I just really sense his presence and his wisdom speaking to my mind and meditating on it and pondering it. You know, sometimes for me that can be a form of worship as well. So we thank you, Father God, Lord, for just taking Frida higher, God, to praise and purposes, Father God, that you would unfold those things, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for just touching her, Lord, with your presence, Lord, with your provisions and praise, your provisions and purpose, God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you've engrafted her, Lord, that she is connected to the vine, Lord, and that she is producing because of her abiding in you, God, and everything that you supply, God, and bring forth through her is because she's connected to you, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the beauty of what you're creating, Lord, in the praise and in the purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that helped me actually see things different. Yeah. Yeah, amen.
I was just wanting to, well, you kind of touched bases on a lot of stuff, but I kind of wanted to just like speak for general prayer because I don't, it's a lot of things that I don't get or understand. And I know that's the only way that I would get the understanding and the clarity of things is if the Father reveals it to me. And so sometimes when you're kind of like feeling your way around in life and you kind of go into like the unknown, it's kind of intimidating a little bit. And
On a spiritual realm, you mean? Like you have things happening when you're engaging with the spirit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some things that I don't have any knowledge of. Maybe
okay.
It's
right.
Slightly a bit intimidating, but when I don't know or how to determine things, it's confusing sometimes.
Yeah. So just write down what's happening and make sure you date it because there's like I have so many journals. I was looking for something the other day and I was like, I wrote so many things down and I forgot to write the date. I was like, what the heck? But just anyway, so make sure you date it and then write it down and because and you're inquiring of the Lord. So if he's bringing you there and he's revealing these things, then you need to wait for him. And there might be a scripture, right? Because just like I've heard people say, and my husband's testimony is this, is he was, he got saved and he didn't really have the knowledge necessarily. Like he knew that he would be going to hell, you know, and he needed God, and he needed to be saved from hell, and he prayed that, okay, on his knees with his hands up in the air, you know, and just said, God, beyond any shadow of a doubt, I know I'm going to hell unless you save me, and then his life was different after that, but it wasn't until like 2 months later, 3 months later that he understood and came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Because so he was saved during that time, but he didn't know what happened to him because the Spirit led him, but he didn't know, like he didn't have the understanding until 2 months later. And I do hear testimonies of this, and I'm sure you have as well. People will say they have this experience with God, didn't even know what was happening, and then they learn in the Word or they learn something becomes unfolded to them and they learned what happened to them. And some people write a whole book on stuff like this, honestly. So I would write it down and keep rolling it back on the Lord. Lord, this is how you've gifted me and this is where you've taken me. Like I need and ask him what you need, you know. So a lot of times when I was going through things, I would ask the Lord to confirm it in his word. Like I need to know where's the scripture that makes this true. Like, I mean, that was for me because, and but I see my upbringing in the faith and in my gifts and walking in two different streams because in the, I don't know, evangelical stream or Protestant stream, whatever you want to call that, they would always look to scripture like you. But it also helped me learn the word too, right? So I wasn't necessarily offended by it. It just helped me to be a Berean and to learn the word. And so, but I would ask the Lord, Lord, is there a scripture that goes with this? Is there somewhere in your word? And by his grace at some point, you know, he would, and then I would go back and enter that and gain the understanding as I was going. And there's only one time, and it was actually a very difficult time over the last 5 years. It was an incredibly difficult time. It was like a higher order of spiritual warfare that I've never walked through before. It was awful. I mean, it was very, very difficult in every way imaginable. And when I kept asking the Lord for a scripture, Lord, you have to show me, like, teach me to pray as I was going through it. And I kept being focused on the Lord and with the Lord. And it wasn't until he revealed a scripture months, like for this one, it was months later, okay? And then once he revealed the scripture and I came through it and I read it out loud and I knew it was confirmation. I knew exactly. I don't even know that I have still the full understanding in all of it. But when I read the scripture, I knew the thing was broken. Okay, at that point, that's when it was broken, but it didn't actually stop until some months later. But I knew once he revealed the truth and I brought it forth in a prayer, like as a prayer arrow, that thing was broken. But it didn't show itself broken until a few months later. But in the spirit, it was done, you know. But so that's kind of like a, I guess, negative thing, but a good thing, right? If the Lord's showing you different things, you know, I don't know if you were with us a few weeks ago. I mean, I know I think I've heard it talked about this at least within the last month, but I was talking about how the Lord was having me intercede for community, like the community of the church and intercession there, and how he's grown me in that. And sometimes it feels like it's too much to take on the whole intercession of the community of people within the body of Christ that I'm fellowshipping mm-hmm. with and communing with. And so he's teaching me to grow through that, right? Because like at the end of service, we take communion. And I noticed when I took communion, those would be the times it would be difficult for me during the week. And then, so sometimes when it was too much, like I would tell the Lord, like, okay, this is too much this week for me to, even though me saying it was too much for me, let me just say this is that I've learned now it was too much for me to navigate because I really wasn't carrying it myself necessarily. The Lord was using the gift of the Spirit within me for that to come forth, so it wasn't really me, even though it took time and energy and, do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it was too much for me to navigate and to understand, so sometimes I would back off, and that would be okay, like I need a little reprieve, I need to get my head above the water, you know, okay, my head's above the water, okay, now I'm ready to go back in, you know what I mean, like teach me some more, show me some more, how is this working, how is this happening, you know? So that kind of thing, just work with the Spirit and have conversations with him and make note of it, what you've learned, you know, from one thing to the next and asking him, you know, because if he's given you a gift in this area, then he is the giver of the gift and he's dispensing that and that you can call on him, right? It's his structure and his framing, you know, that no one's going to be a better teacher. And ask, you know, there might be things, articles or things that come across your path that will help you gain understanding, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but just take in as much as you can at whatever time you can and then, you know, because the Lord, I mean, he'll even give you the unction, like he'll know and even give you the unction. Maybe you'll start to research something on it and make sure, you know what I mean? And then like his grace will be on that and he'll give you a piece here and a piece there. But he does want us to know, too, that we're trusting him along the way, you know, that we're trusting him and not the gift itself, but the giver of the gift, you know?
Yeah.
That you're in relation with. Yes, that you're always in relation with him. And you're not just idolizing the gift. You're, you know.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you have a good week and a good celebration this weekend.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, our next caller is 704-492. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? 704-492. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from, please? Good evening. Welcome to PGN. Would you like prayer ministry? Perhaps your phone is on mute. unmute your phone and jump on the line for us and join us. Okay, so I see your hands is up for ministry. So we'd be happy to pray with you, 704-492. Okay, well, maybe they walked away from their phone for a moment. Okay. So here, 251-229. Good evening. Thank you for joining us. Who am I speaking to? 251-229. Thank you for joining us. PGN, who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from? I think this is one of our regular callers. Good evening. Can you hear me? Excuse me. 251-229. Can you hear me? I can hear you. Okay. All right, we're going to go down to the next one and see if this phone line's really working or not. 321-230, good evening. Thank you for calling. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Aunt Elise calling from New York.
Okay, Aunt Elise. Thank you. I thought this phone line worked. Okay. Oh, let me mute you and I'll come right back. Oh, I might sneeze. Okay. Father, we thank you for Aunt Elise, Father, in Jesus' name. We just lift her up to you, Lord, and your throne of grace, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness, Lord, and your purposes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes I say this, and I don't know if I got this from a scripture or what, but the Lord is in our circumference, right? So like if you could take on a map or, you know, and pinpoint it, and then like that circle, right, you circle around it, that whole circumference, right? So he knows our circumference. But I'm seeing, like, even if you feel like, and this actually ministers to me too as well, but if you feel like somebody's putting you in a box, you know, and or someone just has that view, like they have a box view, even though you're in the circumference of the Lord, and, you know, he's given you that territory of freedom, a territory of liberty, a territory of dominion, you know, to, like, spill over, right? Because even when the Lord shuts doors or shuts hearts, the Spirit of the Lord will just seep to, when he is working and he is wanting to read something, I've seen this so many times, like his spirit is so liquid, it'll just seep through the door and the cracks and the crevices and just seep through that and reach the people, you know, and they think they want that shut out, you know, they don't want that, but it just seeps through the cracks. I don't know why, I just get a kick out of it. I don't know why that's making me laugh tonight, but it is. But I'm seeing, when I was talking about the goodness of God, I'm seeing God, like, as he is in all four corners, God is in your corner. So if someone has this view, like, or they drop this box on you, like, this is all we can, like, here's your circumference, but this is all you're going to do within this circumference, or is this realm and this aspect of all we can handle, you know, or all we can see, you know, all we can provide, that God is in your corner. He is in every corner of that box, his goodness, his kindness, his faithfulness, his, you know, care and his knowledge and whispering truth to you and encouragement and fighting. God is in your corner fighting for you. I've never seen it like that in a box when someone puts you in a box. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Lord, thank you for fighting for her, God, and being there, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the territory and the circumference of the place, Lord, that she is to take dominion. and redeem the land. God, it's redemptive. It's redemptive in the land, Father God, in Jesus' name. And, you know, sometimes when the, and I didn't know or see this before either, but when I said that, sometimes who's ever put us in a box or whatever it is that that box was on us or we're put in that box, whether it's just their perspective or their view, actually God is trying to redeem that person. He's trying to redeem their view and redeem their belief system, even who God is and how he, you know, they might have the word like, oh, okay, yeah, the word, the gifts are active and the gifts are alive and, you know, they're ongoing, you know, yeah, but they don't really know what it looks like when they see it living and active and before them, you know, what that looks like. And so it's redeeming them. It's redeeming the person, or at least the spirit's attempting to bring a redemption and to broaden their view, even in spite of their box. Wow. Wow. I never really seen it like that. Thank you, God, because something in that is actually, Antelise, bringing me. There's some wisdom. Thank you, God, for your wisdom. Of your word, Lord, the wisdom of your spirit to come forth, Father God. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for strengthening Antelise, Father God, strengthening her, God, tenfold, Father God, tenfold increase, tenfold strengthening, God, in Jesus' name, God, with strength and grace and peace and light, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Wow. Hold on. Let me open this. It's online.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, wow.
Wow.
I called in today. I really just needed prayer overall. And everybody I attempted to call today, they were just pouring their things out on me. I don't even know if I actually heard any of it. It was so much from everybody. But I really just needed prayer, so I thank you. I don't know. I don't know if that has anything to do with work or, like, the organization that I'm trying to start. I know today I had, like, a crazy day at work. Well, actually, I just started a new job, and I mm-hmm. like it, but I don't know. Sometimes I feel like things, like, are a little strange, and they put me, I've been training in one area for almost a month, and now they're, like, moving me to another area, which I've been told, like, isn't the greatest area to work in. So, mm-hmm. I don't know, that kind of, like, bothered me, and it kind of, I don't know, had an effect on my day.
Oh, well, so, is it something, like, you're equipped and skilled for that, or?
So like, there's, like, different pods that you can work in. And I was working in one pod where they were training me and originally told me that's where I'd be. But then I received, like, an email today saying that they were going to put me in another pod. So, like, now I have to, like, retrain over there. And that's, like, this one area that no one really likes to be in. So that kind of bothered me. And I've been, like, kind of thinking, like, oh, hey, how is this going to go? And then, like, for what reason, like, did they decide to put me there instead?
Yeah. I wonder if that word does have something to do with that. That is interesting.
Yeah.
And it's interesting
yeah,
that it's called a pod,
thinking.
Too, because isn't a pod like a box? Like, when I think of those.
Right.
I mean, I know
right.
you're. Yeah, but I'm thinking of those moving pods. They call those pods. I know
right.
that's not what you work in. But, like, a pod can be considered like a box, you know?
Like, it is kind of like a constricted, like, area.
Yeah, so I wonder, and then when do you start that training or that move?
Tomorrow. I was told
oh, wow.
today
that's
I start
fair.
Tomorrow. So I was
wow.
thinking that where it may apply to that. And I just recently started an organization, and I'm going to be hosting my first event. And I don't know. It's something that's been on my heart for years, and I've been trying to put together for years, and I'm finally doing it. But
I don't know, just the, you know, like some of the comments and some of the reactions that I'm getting. I was wondering if it had anything to do with that too, because sometimes I feel like people try to put like limitations on you.
Oh my God, they do. Yeah. Uh-oh. They do.
Yeah, and it's like, not me, but if you want to do that, that's okay. If you want to do that for yourself, but.
You gotta really, okay. Well, we can pray over that, but yes, people do, and people, you know, share their opinions even when they're not asked, you know.
Right.
And
I think it has a lot to do with their own fears.
I think so too, and sometimes people, I don't think they always know that they're not being. But you're right. I think maybe something. Okay, so you got to know this. Like, so if I talked about, I don't know, golf. Do you golf or no?
No, I don't.
Okay, so you would only know by what you see or heard other people or whatever, right? So if someone was talking about, you know, whatever the incident was, we'll just use golf, you know, that, and I was explaining it to you, you would have, because of your perception, you are taking all of that in and reading it based on your perception, by your own experience, your own culture, and, you know, whatever the limitation is that you've had yourself to golf, you know. And this is how you're perceiving and taking in the information that I'm telling you. And because you haven't actually done that yourself, you don't necessarily have maybe a 100% perception. You're only basing it off of 70% or 40%. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so then people will comment out of that, so.
Right. And
but at the same time, people can speak words that are that will benefit and can bring fruit. So that's where the whole mix is, you know?
Yeah, so I felt like that word may have applied a lot to both. So both of the things that I have
going
on.
Yeah, well, let's pray over your event. Is your event coming up? Is it this week or?
No, it's in a few months. It's I'll talk about it in a little bit. It's the organization that I'm starting, it's called From Poverty to Wealth. So it's like, you know, I am gearing towards young adults, like in my community. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be like a seminar, like to empower, encourage, and uplift, and teach, you know, just so kids can have personal and financial success, or grow up and have personal and financial success. So, that's a brief overview of what it is. So the first seminar that I am going to be doing is in a few months. And I'm so excited about it.
Oh,
okay. It all goes well.
Yeah, that's good. I can tell that you're, the way you were talking about it, even, that it's very exciting and, like, life-giving to you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's fantastic, really, and definitely needed. There's definitely a place and a space for that. Let's pray over that. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this event, God, and the things that you've placed upon Aunt Elise, Father God. Lord, to broaden the community, God, and to help and to reach, God, and to be a solution, Lord. We pray, Father God, as she's plowing the land in this, Father God, we thank you. You know, I don't know if you listened to last week's a message, and I just thought of it again because I really know it was the Holy Spirit. He spoke it to me right before I laid my head down on the pillow. He told me to go back over into Nehemiah. So if you haven't listened to just the beginning of it and talking about us, we are called to do what God's called us to do, and then the opposition that we find sometimes in the calling and bringing that forth, you know, and the strategies. And I, you know, stopped at times and prayed and yada, yada. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, We thank you for establishing this, God, and for it taking root, God, and taking ground. And, Lord, let it grow even organically, God. But we ask for your blessing and your favor on that, God, because we know, God, I know, I just know from even all of studying and whatnot, God, and this is the area that's needed, God, and fitted and suited. For such a time as this, Father God. So we ask for your blessing and increase upon that, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. And God bless you.
Yeah. God bless you too. And so, and even in your job thing, maybe God's going to put pieces together that are, you know, I don't know, but it is an interesting word that came forth for you, but God is fighting for you, and even in your box. I don't know, I've never heard anyone say anything like that, or never have seen, like, even praying it through, seeing it that way before either. So praise God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. You're welcome. God bless you. Thank you for joining us.
You have a good night.
You too, and have a good Easter celebration, and whatever you choose to do with your family, neighbors, friends. Okay, let's go back here. 251-229, good evening. 251-229, thank you for joining us, PGN. This is Deborah. Who am I speaking to? What is your first name? Hello, are you with us? 251-229? Okay, they might have fell asleep there, I'm not sure. Okay, 704-492, good evening. Thank you for joining us. Who am I speaking to? Hello, 704-492. Good evening. Thank you for joining PGN. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from? Okay. All right, friends. I think that's a wrap tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, and God bless you, and have a blessed Easter celebrating the risen Christ and the hope of Christ, the hope of glory in you. May you carry that, and may you be with the grace in us. God would grace us with his presence and to see his presence in others as well. And may others bless you this week with the goodness of God and just really genuine and sincere encouragement of the attributes or gratefulness that they see in you. May you just receive the Christ in you, the hope of glory, as you receive it freely. Freely you give, freely you receive. Okay, God bless everyone. Bye-bye.